John Owen, I quote him, 1673, "The Jews shall be gathered from all parts of the earth where they are now scattered and brought home into their homeland." He's taking seriously what Holy Scripture says.
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah. This is the Messianic Voice, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's join Marty Zide here on The Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to The Messianic Voice program, coming to you from our headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri. We're so glad you've joined us. We're right in the midst of a series of messages that are being taught by Dr. David Larson. He was a guest speaker that we had a couple years back, and he did a series on the past, present, and future prophecies of Israel. Currently, he is in the present prophecies, where he is dealing with the fact that God is in the process of delivering the people of Israel out of the land of the north and other places as well. And we see that this is just kind of a foreshadowing of what really is going to take place in the future also. But we're living in a wonderful time where we're seeing Jewish people from around the world going back to the land of Israel. He's already dealt with some of the past prophecies where he spoke about how God chose the people of Israel and what some of the implications of that were. And then he talked about the land and how God is the one who owned the land, but he gave it to Israel as an everlasting possession. And then he talked about some of Israel's disobedience and the severe consequences because of that. Well, we're going to continue on in just a minute with another in Dr. Larson's series of lectures. But before we do, would you mind getting a piece of paper and a pencil? Because at the end of the program, I'm going to give you our address and you'll be able to write us so you could obtain this entire series of lectures by Dr. David Larson. Once you hear these, you're going to want the whole set. They are just excellent. So without further ado, here is Dr. David Larson.
I feel it's important to make the case that Christian conviction that these prophecies of the Old Testament, like Isaiah 11, like Amos 9, there have been so many believers who have cherished the expectation, along with Orthodox Jews, that someday, in the end of the days, in the last of the days, God's going to bring this people like he brought those dry bones together, and they will live. Well, let me give you an instance. John Owen, rather dull to read, I think, as the Puritans generally, and others of their successors, tending to be somewhat wordy and verbose. Now, John Owen was the president during the Puritan Commonwealth, the days of Oliver Cromwell. 1640 and on in England, he was the president of Oxford, the chancellor of Oxford, and chaplain to Oliver Cromwell. Very highly placed man. And John Owen's book on the Holy Spirit, his exposition of Hebrews. John Owen, I mean, a remarkable Puritan. Well, let me just give you just a brief smidgen from John Owen. I quote him, 1673, "The Jews shall be gathered from all parts of the earth where they are now scattered." This is 1673. "Where they are now scattered and brought home into their homeland." Now, where did he get that idea? John Owen, did you scratch that out of the floor? I mean, where did you get such a notion that the Jews would return? Listen, he got it right from the Bible. He's taking seriously what Holy Scripture says, folks. You know, sometime we are led to believe that we must be nincompoops of some kind to believe a thing like this. Listen, we've got good company here. If we're nincompoops, there are some very nice nincompoops, among whom was John Owen. Well, let me give you one more out of my collection. I've got quite a collection on this. Increase Mather. Now, you know the Mather family up in New England, in Boston. You had Cotton Mather and Increase Mather, and I mean the Mathers. They were Puritans with a vengeance. Well, now, Increase Mather was pastor of the Second Church, Boston, and president of Harvard for 16 years. In 1669, he wrote a book, The Mystery of Israel's Salvation Explained and Applied. Now, listen carefully. This is Increase Mather, no less. A president of Harvard has not spoken like this for a long time. I quote, "When once God begins this work of Israel's salvation, it shall be carried on with speed and irresistible might. At their return, they shall even fly." I can't exegete that sentence from 1669. I'm sorry. I don't understand what he meant, but it's very interesting that he said it. "Some have doubted whether they should ever again possess the land of their fathers, but the scripture is very clear and full on this." Increase Mather. Folks, and this expectation that God's ancient people would someday be brought back to Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, has been cherished through all these centuries, and it has all started to take place in this century. And I'll tell you, the truth is stranger than fiction. How God, history is his story, how God has gotten this thing going, I'll tell you, it's absolutely spine-tingling. I think if I didn't have my suspenders on, I might go straight up right now when I stop to think about what God has been doing in time-space history. You know, you have to go back right toward the end of the 19th century. You have, for instance, European Jewry basically thinking our future is here in Europe. We will, in the more civilized Western nations, we're going to find a home. We'll be happy here. We can thrive here. Now, Tevye and those out on the steppes of Russia, they may have some problems. The fiddler may have to play on the roof out there. But, you know, in France, Germany, Hungary, Austria. But something very, very traumatic happened. A French Jewish army officer named Dreyfus, Alfred Dreyfus, the highest ranking Jewish French military officer, was accused of selling military secrets to the Germans. You know, there was always Germany versus France. Dreyfus was put on trial. It was very clear this was anti-Semitic. He was not guilty. But he was resented because he was Jewish. And he was found guilty. The literati of France and all of Europe, they rose up in protest. I mean, people like Victor Hugo and Emile Zola. I mean, they said, this is awful. The man was sent to Devil's Island. He was destroyed there, right off the coast of South America. He was destroyed. When finally the outcry became so widespread, Dreyfus was brought back, but by that time, he was not really a human being anymore. At his trial in Paris, a witness to this grievous miscarriage of justice, was a young Jewish reporter, born in Hungary, was working for a Viennese newspaper. His name was Theodor Herzl, H-E-R-Z-L, Herzl. He was not a religious Jew. But he sat there day after day and he was outraged. He said, "We have always been assured that in a civilized Western nation like France or Britain or, I mean, we would be safe. There would be fairness. We would be dealt with as any human beings are dealt with. It is obvious this is a trumped up charge." And Theodor Herzl wrote articles in the paper, and he wrote a book, Der Judenstaat, the Jewish state. He said, "We Jews will ultimately and only be safe if we have our own nation, our own homeland, our own country in Israel." But Theodor Herzl was frustrated, because how do you get it? Palestine was under the control of the Ottoman Turks, a very, very corrupt government with wide sweeping land possessions. But he began to talk to his friends, and a movement began. It is called Zionism. World Zionism. And the first World Zionist Congress was held in Basel in Switzerland in 1896. And there was a concerted effort to speak on the behalf of persecuted Jewry throughout the whole world. In fact, Herzl was sent to the Sultan of Turkey, who wouldn't see him. They tried to raise money to buy land in Israel for Jews to go and farm and find a homeland, but it was difficult. It was impossible. They couldn't get that land for lover money. Well, then some of them thought, could we buy land down in Paraguay in South America? Some thought, could we buy land in the jungles of Uganda in Africa? There were some who said, let's buy land in what we call today Eastern Saudi Arabia. The land they looked at is the oil land of Saudi Arabia. This is one time they missed. You know, very fascinatingly, folks, there was a Prussian court chaplain, a Protestant, who heard about this, and he said, this can't be. They can't go to Africa. They can't go to South America. It's got to be the land. And he sent Herzl an Old Testament with all of the promises of return to the land undermarked in red. And an American Presbyterian missionary to the Jews, William E. Blackstone, W.E.B., wrote a famous book, Jesus is Coming. He also was in correspondence with Herzl. And they said, Herzl, the Bible says it's got to be Palestine. It's got to be the land. He said, what am I going to do? Well, poor fellow, he died of a heart attack a few years later, never saw what happened. First World War. Folks, God makes even the wrath of men to praise him. God is working even in the most unseemly of human debacles, because that dreadful First World War, Turkey was on the wrong side. Was that just a fluke? Was that just happenstance? Was that just chance? The Ottoman Empire fell with the Axis powers. But another very significant thing happened in the First World War. The Germans, with the invention of a brilliant Jewish scientist, Fritz Haber, wouldn't you know it, poison gas. And you know the Germans used poison gas in the early phases of the war, and Britain was terrified. The British government said, what are we going to do? The Germans have poison gas. A brilliant Jewish scientist. His name, Chaim Weizmann, from the University of Manchester, a chemist, a refugee from Tevye's homeland, from Russia, where he was born. Professor Weizmann said to the British government, "I will go to work for you." And he worked day and night. He just about died. He worked. He developed a chemical process for the commercial production of acetone, a very critical factor in the manufacture of high explosives. It really gave the Allies a great edge. In gratitude, the British government came to Weizmann after this Herculean effort on his part and this invention, said, "Dr. Weizmann, how much do we owe you? How many millions of pounds? Come on. You can be a wealthy man. You've got us. You've done it." "No money." "No money? You don't want money? What do you want?" The negotiations for Britain were performed by the foreign minister, Arthur James Balfour. Balfour was a Scot, a wonderful Christian man, a man whose mother raised him from childhood days to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, wasn't that a lucky accident? Lucky accident, my eye. Listen, who's on the throne? Who is sovereign before whom all the nations are as a drop in the bucket? Our great God. Folks, that's why I call myself a realistic optimist. I have to be optimistic about the ultimate, because it is God who's going to have the last word. Amen? Weizmann said to Balfour, "No money. I would like the British government to back, to favor, the establishment of a national home for the Jews in Israel after the war." Reasonable. 1917, the Balfour Declaration, in which the Great Britain officially backed the establishment of a homeland for the Jews. Woodrow Wilson, son of a Presbyterian minister, our president at that time, within 48 hours, gave U.S. backing to the Balfour Declaration. After the war, even though Churchill gave away 3/5 of the mandate, and although the British were torn in the mandate between their oil interests with the Arabs and their fulfillment of the Balfour Declaration, Jews began to go back. Do you know, at first, the Palestinian Arabs welcomed them? "We need capital. This country has gone to rack and ruin. The land of hills and valleys, of milk and honey, that beautiful water conservation system developed by the ancients had been destroyed. It was just sand dunes and swamps." Folks, 19th century, there would be no tours. I mean, Mark Twain went. He was so disillusioned at what he saw, he only wrote, "It's just sand in your eye." Oh, Palestine was in terrible shape. And these few Palestinian Arabs were in their little tents, and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was there, but they were fighting and warring between the Armenians, the Greek Orthodox, the Roman Catholics, and I mean, it was just bloody murder. There was nothing. And the Arabs said, "Come, you bring capital, let's get something going." But very soon, tension, riots. The Jews who went back, who started to go back, were almost wiped out. But there was a British Army officer. His name was Ord Wingate, from an old Edinburgh family. The family, the Wingate family, sponsored Robert Murray McShane's and Andrew Bonar's journey to Palestine and study of a Jewish mission opportunity in Budapest. Church of Scotland had a great mission in Buda and Pest. They were two different cities at that time, one on one side of the river. Out of which mission, famous Jewish Christians like Alfred Adlersheim, David Baron, Adolf Safir, I'm talking about writers of Bible commentaries. These were Hungarian Jews who came to Christ out of this missionary expedition that was financed to the Holy Land by the Wingate family. I'm getting off on a tangent here. See, there are so many rabbit trails here. Do you see how God has worked things out? Listen, he's not standing on the sideline. He has not taken a sabbatical. Our God is not in absentia, dear people. He's active and he's at work, working out his great plan and purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. All praise be to his name. And by the way, this Ord Wingate, he is one of my heroes. When you go to Jerusalem, to the Garden Tomb, you've seen Gordon's Calvary, General Gordon, after whom Gordon's Calvary is named. Wonderful Christian man, read his devotions each morning in his tent. He was called Chinese Gordon. He discovered that what looks like the shape of a skull. I'm always moved when I see it. I like it a lot better than the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. He read his devotions every morning in his tent out of his Greek New Testament. Isn't it strange, these Christian military men? General Allenby, who led the British Expeditionary Force into Jerusalem in 1917, taking it over from the Turks without a shot being fired. Wonderful Scottish Christian. General Edmund Allenby. Where did all these British generals come from? Accident that they were all there. This Ord Wingate was a wonderful Christian. He taught the Jews of the Yeshuv, the Jews in Israel. He taught them how to defend themselves. He taught them you cannot be just passive and let them wheedle away on you all the time. I can remember one time when we go to Israel, sometime I'll get for our group an Israeli guide. Then I see certain things. Sometimes I get an Arab guide. Then I see other things. Well, one time I had an Israeli guide. He had been in the Palmach, the strategic military pincer group of the Israeli Defense Force. A very interesting man. We stopped one day at a place. He said, "Do you see here? There is a marker, one of the great heroes of this nation. He wasn't even a Jew. His name, Ord Wingate. He taught us to defend ourselves."
Well, I know after listening to that message on the sovereignty of God and his hand in the formation of the State of Israel back in 1948, I know that I hope that it blessed you as much as it did me. And if you listen to this, you're probably wondering, if you haven't been with us for the several previous weeks, how can I get all of these messages? Well, I'm happy to tell you we have them available on CD format or on cassette tapes. And I told you at the beginning of the program to grab yourself a piece of paper and a pencil. And I'm going to give you the address, because if you want all of these lectures that Dr. David Larson gave when he was a guest speaker here at the Midwest Messianic Center, just write us at MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. And when you do write us, make sure that you specify whether you want them on CD format or if you want them on cassettes. Again, that's MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. And if you have any need for us to assist you and help you in ministering to your Jewish acquaintance or friend, that's one of the reasons why we have these programs, to give you information, to make ourselves available to you. So let us know if there's any way at all we could help you. We have a desire to come alongside you and to do that very thing. Well, I'm so glad you've tuned in, and until next time, may God richly bless you.
The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. Inquire about our evangelistic magazine featuring testimonies of Jewish believers. We offer home Bible studies, Jewish evangelism seminars, and free tracts that you may pass along to your Jewish friends. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org or write to us at MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. And be sure to request a copy of Evangelistic Magazine. Once again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.